numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game. Good Wednesday morning to you from the South Point. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. One of those was incorrect. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil and Kelly hanging out. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm good. Tired, Gil. Long night out last night.
We'll talk about that here momentarily. First things first. I live in a, first of all, on the show today, Will Hill will join us to talk baseball and football. Mike Pritchard on the NFL, Drew Dinsick, NBA and NFL. Survivor talk, can't wait for that. Cannot wait for that. Teasers, NFC adjusted season win totals, we'll do it all in the NFL. But I live in a bougie building, Kelly, where valet is mandatory, which I suppose makes me bougie by extension, but, you know, I'm working on that. Anyway, I get down there, and the guy says to me, he goes, I know what you're thinking. And I'm thinking, he's like, oh, he's going to congratulate me that the Braves clinched this, and I don't have to sweat it today. And he goes, eight of clubs, Dan Thunder Marley. Swear to God it happened. And immediately I'm like, oh, no. Oh, this is great. Not good.
I actually find that more normal than him congratulating you on your Braves bets. I don't know why I could just feel.
Because he's always talking about betting, so I'm like, oh, he's clearly going to thank me about
it. I'm just trying to picture you talking to the valet guy every day and be like, hey, Jim. added on plus 190. And he's like, oh, let me just write that down to my 30 Braves NL East bets.
Oh, man. Well, congratulations to all who did ride the Braves bets. It is always more fun to cash as a group. Had a lot of texts yesterday, a lot of people who are just sort of like, hey, I didn't listen to you the first 10 times, but I did the last three or four. 17 total bets made here, and the Braves do eke out the win. They needed one win or one Mets loss. Mets weren't cooperating, so the Braves, after a loss the other night, they do eke out, and I do mean eke out, because they got out of a bases-loaded jam up 2-1 in the eighth, and then Kenley mowed them down 1-2-3 in the ninth, and the Braves win the NL East against all odds.
Congratulations, man. What a haul. Look at all those bets. I ran out of room on the graphic. I had to put 3X and 2X and 4X next to it.
It's not as fun when the it's not a green check mark. Pops much more with the green check marks. But this is it's been an unbelievable stretch for us again. And then someone was kind enough to point it out on Twitter again. Iga and the Warriors and Paolo Banchero and Ole Miss. One after the other. Now the Atlanta Braves with the NLE. So again, for everybody who jumped on any of those, we're very pumped. And yeah, I mean, again, for that, it was just, this was different. All bets are different. Again, different sports are different. Sports Savant, by the way, thank you for throwing that out there. All bets are different, and this one was different because it required you to go in, or at least didn't require you, but I went in every day, and I made this bet over and over, and I just never thought the market captured that the Braves got all three games at home, that they never lost control of their destiny, that the ball was always on their racket, that they didn't have a disadvantage against Scherzer because they do mash. And then as DeGrom's performance deteriorated, it sort of egged me on. Then there was the Alcantara sort of safety valve at the end that he wouldn't be pitching. And it was one note after another. And so here we are. And so congratulations to all on that. By the way, to those who are observing Yom Kippur today, may your fast go well. Want to shout out everybody who is observing the Jewish Day of Atonement. Or as my mother said to me last night, it goes, what do you mean you're going to work, Gilly?
And yeah, I was what are you doing?
It's like, well, I got to talk about Survivor. I mean, come on.
So Kevin could have done the show.
Kevin could have done it.
Yeah,
that's true. Y'all could have done it.
We would have just we could have done play by play of MTV Classics all day.
Well, we got that. We got that in the corner. I've got one eye on that the whole way through. Anyway, the reference to the eight of clubs, and of course Dan Thunder Marley was a reference to Oz the Mentalist's appearance on this show yesterday. I went down a neuro-linguistic programming rabbit hole yesterday, and then the best tweet, everybody just freaked out by it. People still watching it, and I may be more freaked out than anybody. This is from the real Matt Indy. We were looking at what was the best tweet of them all. He goes, if Oz can guess track 7 of Slow Jams, then shut the whole damn world down.
That was the winner. Matt and Indy, you had the winning tweet yesterday.
Again, reference to obscure references on this show and on Primetime Action to my old Slow Gems CD back in the day over at KMEL. Okay, which Kelly bought for $75 United States dollars.
We don't even need a camera on downstairs right now, Gil. I can explain the play-by-play of Isaiah Wrinkle scrambling to find the B-roll.
He's got it on the trigger.
And there it is, there right it is. On cue.
There it is. Okay, congratulations also to Aaron Judge, who hit his 62nd homer last night to set not only the Yankees record, but the American League record. And here is the call. This is John Sterling's call, or Michael Kay? Who do we got here?
This will be John Sterling.
John Sterling on the call.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record. Aaron Judge hits his 62nd. All the Yankees out of the dugout to greet him. Just think of it. Three Yankee right fielders. The Babe hitting 60 and 27. The Jolly Roger hitting 61 and 61. And now Aaron Judge hits his 62nd home run, the most home runs any American leaguer has hit in a single season. And the American League has been alive for 120 years. This is Judgment Day. Case closed.
I want to get as many Judge cliches as he could in there. Congratulations to get Aaron Judge. Like I said, I love Aaron Judge. He's going to look great in a Giants uniform next year is what I keep saying.
Whoa!
Yes! And so, again, it's a big, the great debate. Half the people say, oh, yeah, it's a legitimate record. And then there's half the people, the subset for, in which I am a part of. And so is Eric B. Tweeting, apparently, on Twitter. Eric Michelle, talking about the best tweets of the day, says, congratulations to Aaron Judge, who's now just one away from tying Sammy Sosa's third best season home run total. Or there's this perspective as well, as people are just giving their own little twist to things. This is from Rob Silver. I'm already excited for weeks of Barry Bonds Jr. regaling us with weeks of vapid opinions on all sorts of matters in the summer of 2038. That a reference to Roger Maris's son, apparently feeling the need to constantly remind everybody that this is the legitimate home run record. Really, because your father's home run record was diminished when he said it, and so you're just paying it forward, I see. Interesting.
Yeah, wasn't that the whole, like, Babe played less games, right?
Yeah, so Babe played fewer games.
I didn't even know Roger Maris' son was doing that.
61 with an asterisk, was Olmu with the asterisk, right, the whole thing.
Get over it!
And again, it's fait accompli that Judge is going to be the MVP, we get it. But if I could just one more time, and I'm going to let Jason Weingarten riff on this later in the week. But, you know, I don't know, in case you missed it once again, the real most amazing, greatest player in baseball by far, and it's not even close, codify. Shohei Ohtani has allowed a total of 21 earned runs in his last 18 starts while striking out 148 batters. The only other pitcher in MLB history to do this is Clayton Kershaw. By the way, I don't think Kershaw's the only other. I think there was like five or six others. And yes, Shohei had the seventh highest OPS in all of MLB during this time. He is two spectacular players in one. And why we are just going to sit here and act like he's not the greatest player in baseball, I don't know. But I'm going to let Jason, we talked about that many times, and we'll see. We'll see how close he gets to the Cy Young. We'll see how close he gets to the MVP. May end up with nothing, which is just ridiculous. And let me just say this. As much as I love Judge, Judge maybe, in some categories, yes, in some categories, no, maybe is having as good a season as Vlad Guerrero did last year. But it's the home runs that we are constantly being inundated by, right?
Sure.
That is coloring that truth. And Shohei's year is far better than it was last year. So I just want to put that contextually as a context as well.
It's just going to be tough, Gil, because I mean, I look at it similarly, and you might disagree with this, but I look at it similarly to Giannis in the NBA, where it's could give it to this guy every year, every single
100%.
Year. I get in that argument with people all the time in the NBA. Look, Jokic is awesome, Embiid is awesome. What the value they bring to their teams is incredible, but the offensive and defensive output that you can get night in and night out from Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's unmatched. He's the best player in the league. He could win it every single year, and Shohei, for what he does, pitching and hitting, you could give it to him every year, and it's going to be interesting to see how these awards get handed out over the next several years.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out over the course of the next few years. But yes, Shohei, Aaron Judge will win it by all indications this year. Although we never know, right? We never know with voters. We have to always say that. And then you did something spectacular yesterday, and I wanted to go, but I was I was like, the Braves have got to get these final three outs. This means more to me than anything financially.
Yeah.
So I didn't end up going. I'm going to go with parlay tomorrow, but explain to people what you did last night.
Yeah, went over to the G League Ignite game versus the French team. Sorry, the Metropolitans 92, I believe is their team name, with Victor Wembanyama, who will be the first overall pick in next year's NBA draft. Will be, not might be, Gil, will be.
Yes.
Got to see him and Scoot Henderson, who was the number two prospect for the Ignite team. All the stars were in the building. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Ben Wilson, myself.
Yes.
You know, it was jam-packed. Boogie Cousins. We were all there, Gil. We were all there. It was a great game. I know you and I were texting back and forth. I kind of made the decision to go really last minute. We were kind of complaining about seat availability. That Dollar Loan Center is awesome because
it's awesome.
It's made for like 4,000 people.
Yeah.
So as soon as I got in there, I'm like, I feel bad. Me and Gil and I were even texting about this, about bad seats, because there's really not a bad seat in the house. I was really mid-court sitting about 20 rows up. Got to watch that. Wembanyama, I mean, this kid was...
Everything the hype has suggested.
He is. I will say, I've watched so many of his highlight videos that watching him in person is a very different thing. He even said it after the game that he was kind of winded by the extended minutes of the quarters.
That.
And I thought he looked that very much so on the court. He had to take some long breaks at time. But, man, you're talking about a guy who's like 7'4". Draining threes with the prettiest stroke you've ever seen. Like this, the NBA ain't ready for this guy.
We've never seen anything like this.
And 17, I think he's not even 18 yet.
It's like when people say, oh, if the Lakers of the 80s played the Warriors of, you know, the KD Warriors. I always used to say that debate. Their heads would explode if they saw KD, because they would never have understood a player of like this, who was this tall, who could do the things he did. Let's say that about Wembanyama as well.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And by the way, no one can get his height right. It's like from 7'2 to 7'5. No one can list it probably. It's amazing. Tankapalooza could be a real thing this year. Coming back with Drew Dinsick next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You got a style, Kelly? You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Whatever your betting style. You walk in there with like a swag to you, like, it's my style.
Of course, man. It's my style.
It's my betting style. We get tweets. Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. Michael Lafon. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Maybe it's Lafon. Gil, that segment yesterday with Mark Borchard was so convincing to bet against the Phillies. I made my biggest baseball bet of the year and won 10 to nothing. Even better, I had a dinner date and convinced this woman. He refers to his dinner date as this woman.
Convinced this woman.
To put $100 on the Astros. She was so impressed, she drove me to ecstasy. I don't know. Oh, I see what he's doing. A little wordplay is what he's doing right there. Let's see. This is from... Michael Burns, so young Gil, did your Dan Marley dream last night end with him having 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists? This is from Jeff Isaacs. Is Ohtani live for AL Cy? His numbers say yes. What am I missing? And Ohtani pitches today. Mark Borchardt thought so yesterday. Jesse Welch on the prospect of me being out on Yom Kippur if I decided to take it off. He said, if you were out today, we could have had 2 straight hours of Kelly guessing lines, college edition.
There we go.
Nemesis.
We could have done an hour of that, and then Drew Dinsick and I just talking about Victor Wembanyama and NBA futures for an hour.
Yes. Which, why don't we do that right now? Drew Dinsick, we have more. We'll get some more coming up. Drew Dinsick, ladies and gentlemen, host of not one, but two podcasts. The Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor, and of course, as well, NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. He comes to us just looking as relaxed as ever from his palatial estate in Long Beach, California. I believe that's where he is. How you doing, Drew?
Oh, I'm doing well. Gil, let's play a little game first. I want you to write down the name of a 7'4" French basketball player. It could be anyone. Okay, have you got it written down?
I do.
Let me guess. It's Wembanyama. Yes.
You're amazing. You're amazing.
Nailed it.
That was cool. That was a cool segment yesterday. That was a ton of fun. And And Wemby was unfreaking believable in his stateside debut last night.
Do you believe, we ran into a wall here the last segment, but I said it as we're going out, that we could see the return of legitimate Tankapalooza this coming year. In other words, three teams will have, it's not the old school days of 2017, the old school days, or 2018, whatever it was, where there was one team that was going to get 25% of the ping pong balls, and that ended up being DeAndre Ayton of the Phoenix Suns. It's three teams with 14%, but just that incremental increase in ping pong balls, could we see that for a talent that is Wembanyama?
I mean, technically you would expect that. This is generational, you know, franchise-changing sort of event coming. But at the same time, there's the stratification in the NBA this season seems so much more clearly defined than any season I can remember in the last, say, 10 that I've been handicapping this.
Mm.
That, like, the teams, even like a team like OKC, if they're like determined to, you know, kind of find their way into that mix, like they still have a young nucleus that's getting better every year and is going to be pretty good, and they're going to win some games even if they're not trying to. So there's, you know, I don't actually know that, you know, sort of a subset of teams that, you know, have young talent are going to be able to truly tank, just because, you know, in general, the sort of the lower class of the NBA is more talented than we have seen in years past, in my opinion. The secret tankers that I have kind of tabbed are all kind of teams that are veteran laden, that don't have a ton of depth, that, you know, if things don't go right through the first month, 2 months of the season, then all of a sudden they absolutely pull the ripcord. I'm looking at the likes of the Wizards, the Pacers, you know, some of those sort of teams that have marginal play-in expectation, I guess. Those are probably your teams that could, you know, either completely jettison their star power and or just put guys, you know, on the shelf for the year if they're in the mix for a playoff, or, you know, for a lottery pick. Otherwise, you know, there's just not a lot of really bad teams left in the NBA, which is wild to say.
That is wild to say. All right, we'll get to football here momentarily, but now that the 17-day NBA offseason is coming to an end, I'm curious, Dilly, didn't the Warriors just win the title a second ago? You have made bets. What NBA bets do you have in pocket?
So the easiest, okay. So again, like in the same sort of philosophy as we were talking about kind of running up to the preseason through the preseason for the NFL, I think it's mostly worth just swinging for the fences here and not locking up a ton of capital in the wins totals market, just because the payoffs aren't good enough that, you know, if you have conviction in a team being better than market right now, you're going to get five or six cracks at betting them game by game in the month of October and November before, you know, if you're feeling convicted in your priors about these teams. So, you know, playing a win total over on a team like the Timberwolves, who I'm very high on, for instance, doesn't make a ton of sense. Whereas, you know, kind of betting into some of the higher, you know, the higher payout, you know, longer tail type of options make more sense. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, DraftKings has up you know, most wins for the season market. Timberwolves are at 20-1 in that market. That's kind of one of my favorite sort of long shot ways to attack that general upside for a team like Minnesota. The case for Minnesota is pretty straightforward. If you haven't already heard, they traded for Rudy Gobert in the offseason. He effectively solves their two most significant problems in terms of, number one, rim protection, and number two, just a player who can play pick and roll offense with D'Angelo Russell. And it's kind of the perfect complementary piece to what they already have. And so I think in general, you know, I have confidence in Chris Finch as a coach. I think he has all of the kind of pieces in place to be able to solve whatever kind of regular season questions teams throw at them. And in general, I think they're in a pretty weak, weak division. You know, the West is stronger than the East at the top. But overall, there's more stratification in the West. And I think in particular in their division, I don't rate, OKC or Portland as high as market. And so I think they're going to have some pretty decent opportunities to kind of compile wins in division. And, particularly they're up against Denver, I guess, to win the their division. And I think Denver's a slightly overrated as we head into the regular season. So for me, at least, the Timberwolves potentially kind of getting out to the one seed chase in the West and exceeding their total by a meaningful margin, I think is real. They probably need to get into the high 50s to get the most wins in the NBA, maybe low 60s, just kind of looking at how competitive the NBA is this year. I think that's what it's going to take. But that's where kind of their 10-15% of their outcomes get for me. And so 20-1 for most wins is a fun way to attack that.
All right. That Northwest division, that's already a two-team race, Gil. The season hasn't even started yet, and it's a two-team race. Nuggets -140, yeah. Timberwolves +140, Blazers 8-1, Jazz and Thunder much longer.
Jazz ain't like they used to be. Just running it back the same way every year, yeah. Which is probably a good thing, by the way. They had to break it up. All right, so let's do rapid fire here, Drew. Sixers, you're taking them to win the Atlantic to overcome the Celtics and the Nets, among others.
Yeah, that's a very, very competitive division. Don't like the Sixers as much to get like the one seed or the most wins in those markets, just because the Atlantic is just absolutely stacked. Even the Raptors are going to be a tough out. Poor Knicks, man. Like the four teams above them in that division, all very, very good. And I had general kind of optimism on the Knicks being plucky this year. So that's a tough one. But ultimately, the Sixers are the best team, and they kind of did a very decent job, I think, of addressing some of the key questions about their depth, which is always an issue when you have some fragile players. Realistically, I think Maxey makes an enormous step forward this year. I see him as a first-time All-Star potentially, and taking a leap from about 17 points per game to in 21-22 range. As Harden evolves into his sort of final phase here as more of a facilitator than an offensive creator for himself. And so, Maxey making that leap to All-Star level, his price at most improved player at 25-1 is bettable, in my opinion. And I think in general, the Sixers are just going to be a regular season dynamo if assuming that Embiid stays healthy, which is, that's always the question about the Sixers. But, I think ultimately 3-1 is a great price for them to win that division.
Yeah. And as we used to do on Primetime Action with Matt and Kelly, most improved player, if you go back to the history of most improved player, it's not someone from obscurity. It is someone like Maxey, who people kind of know, and then just takes it to the elite level after a really good season. And then the Southeast, usually ruled, of course, by the Heat and the Hawks. You are taking a flyer here, I see.
Yeah, going with my guy, Paolo Banchero, is going to take that offense, kind of the key piece of the puzzle there, in my opinion, at least. And this is not low likelihood, but they're 200-1 right now at DraftKings. That's a crazy price. My fare is closer to 75-1. And basically, I think the Heat being as good as last year, long shot, and the Hawks, huge questions. And then, as mentioned, the Wizards and the Hornets, to me, look like potential tankers.
All right. NBA season begins when, Kelly? A couple weeks from now, I believe it is. A couple weeks away. All right. We'll get into football, the NFL, with Drew on the other side as we approach week 5. What he's bet already, what he's thinking about betting. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. The VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide is available now with strategies and best bets for the season ahead. Get in-depth analysis from our hockey experts, including Andy McNeil, with predictions for teams and players, win totals, daily betting tips, season-long trends to watch, plus 3 things every new NHL bettor should know. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And once again, Andy McNeil will tell you, I defy you to find anyone else in there but me. He seems very adamant about saying that every time. Hockey season begins this weekend. NBA season begins on October 18th.
There you go.
On a Tuesday.
And your numbers on Tuesday. That's right. A Tuesday, Major League Baseball, WNBA. Take note how this works.
Major League Baseball is starting their postseason on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, going up against football for their wild card weekend. The WNBA, who are a heat-seeking missile for NFL days, put it there. Where's their NFL game? We've got a counter program. Drew Densick joins us once again at @whale_capper, by the way, for the deep dive and Bet the Edge podcast. By the way, real quick, last 3 NBA shots that he's taking as well. Mike Brown for Coach of the Year. for the Sacramento Kings. He also got Jalen Knoll, Sixth Man of the Year, 50-1. And Rudy Gobert. You can always make a Rudy Gobert Defensive Player of the Year bet and feel good about it at plus 475. All right. Cool. Very good.
Wow. I got a little bit of positive expectation for the Kings. They need to get into the top six. But if they do, then Mike Brown is getting Coach of the Year. That's kind of as straightforward as you get. And that's a crazy price. Yeah. Same with Rudy Gobert. My fair for Rudy Gobert Defensive Player of the Year, people would probably laugh at me if I said it out loud, but it is well short of 5-1.
Let me guess. It's like plus 120, your number.
That's pretty close. I'm like plus 135, plus 140.
Yeah. That plus 475, that's an outstanding number. All right, National Football League, week number 5. First of all, how'd your week 4 go?
Ultimately a losing week because the Rams, punked me on Monday Night Football.
Me too.
No showing.
Me too.
That didn't, especially problematic overall for my kind of macro stuff in the NFL. It was very solid. Absolutely loving some of my kind of positioning and, generally nothing happened that really shifted my opinion of, sort of the landscape of the NFL. So that was good. The best result by far, I had plus 3.5 on the Ravens and I had under 55 and both were, I beat the closing lines by a mile, and the fact that that ended with a Bills 3-point win, 23-20, was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the highlight of my week.
You love Odafe Owe for making that tackle. You sure?
Absolutely.
He's your favorite player. All right. What do you have this week? First of all, that is still bettable. Let's talk about that.
I think almost everything is still bettable by my numbers, although the sides have moved in my favor. I have 4 sides and 3 totals in the accounts at this point. For sides, my favorite looks are the Cincinnati Bengals and the Miami Dolphins. I laid the 3 with the Dolphins. I would lay up to 3.5. I took the 3.5 with the Bengals. I would take the 3s still. I think in general, both teams with a little bit extra rest and coming into divisional matchups where they have some pretty clear matchup advantages. I think, Bengals live to win that game out, right? And similarly, Dolphins can win with margin. So those are my 2 favorite sides, right around the key number of 3. And then I took a sell high, buy low spot on the Arizona Cardinals at 5. I know that this is an ugly one. I get it. But my fair in this was 3.5, even considering that I am very, very high on the Eagles. So took the points with the Cardinals there, and then took the points with the Seahawks on the road as well. Not exactly sure what the market saw in the Saints last week. Week 4 in general, I thought you saw a lot of teams kind of come into the game with like, this is our season on the line type of mentality and sort of give you a 95th percentile level of effort. Specifically the Raiders, the Niners, and for that matter, the Saints. I think the performance you got from Andy Dalton is not repeatable, in my opinion. And I think, some of the injuries, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, not going to be, easily cured with a quick turnaround from a game in London. Otherwise this would be a brutal spot for the Seahawks considering how amazing their offense looked. Most of what they're doing offensively to me looks completely repeatable. And I think if the Saints, after kind of leaving it all on the field and not even getting the win, they're susceptible for a pretty decent letdown at home against the Seahawks team. And amazingly, Saints have a travel disadvantage here considering where they're coming from, even though Seattle's flying halfway across the country. So Seahawks with the points makes kind of the 4 sides that I like. And then for totals, I played over with the Jags, I played over with the Chargers, and I took the under in the Tampa Bay Falcons game.
Yeah, let me go back to the Saints for a second because Kelly and I are going to talk Survivor a little later on the show. We'll do teasers here next segment, but Survivor specifically, and this is a week 5, that is very much unlike weeks 3 and 4, a bit of a sigh of relief, at least on paper for Survivor players, because weeks 3 and 4 were just mayhem. This looks like it's a week that ought to go well for people, and I'm not sure how many people or how many entries are going to get knocked out. So ultimately, the task is, okay, what are all the Survivor candidates? And you just look at, you generally look at the bigger spreads first. That wasn't the case the last couple weeks, but now you're back to a normal week. And the Saints are part of that, right? Well, the Saints are, as you said, a 5-point favorite. So, hey, are the Saints a consideration? And I'm with you. I just cannot get there with them. Like, that was a quick throw out for me. Like, I don't trust this team. I get it. This might be the best opportunity to use them, but I don't think I'm using them at all. They're just not viable for me for all the reasons you state. Where do you stand on the Rams after the Monday night game? In other words, I said before the season I thought they'd lollygag through the first half of the year. Well, they're certainly taking that seriously. But we don't see anybody on the outside besides Cooper Kupp even making an – like we mentioned briefly, Matthew Stafford leads the league in picks. But how much of that is just Matthew Stafford being so frustrated that he's like, I got to throw this ball in the air and hope?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of in his DNA anyway. And yeah, going up against a Cowboys defense that is playing as well as any defense in the NFL is not going to be great, especially coming off a game, you know, with short turnaround. This could look a lot like their matchup against the 49ers. 49ers blitzed pretty aggressively because of the advantages they had against an offensive line that's not playing well and was missing their backup center. Now it looks like some of the reinforcements are on their way for that offensive line. Starting center may be back, starting guard may be back. In which case they have a more decent chance to produce some offense in this contest. But out of the four units, the standout unit is pretty clearly the Cowboys defense to this point, and Dan Quinn gets a lot of the credit for that. Micah Parsons, defensive player of the year with a bullet right now. And that's not going to be an easy day for Stafford to get a bounce back. But the Rams are kind of running out of time to shake off the rust here. They're going to need to play with a little bit more urgency. And in general, in the same sort of spirit that I don't mind taking a shot against the Eagles this week. I don't love running to the window to back the Cowboys the week before they get a matchup against the Eagles. The Cowboys-Eagles, for whatever it's worth, there's always a little bit of a look-ahead shadow on those two teams before they end up going head-to-head, particularly the first matchup of the season when both teams are playing well and are kind of positioning for that NFC East title. So that to me looks like, you may get, if the Eagles have a lead, they may kind of put it in their pocket early just not kind of come out with as much intensity as they are kind of looking ahead potentially to the week six match against the Cowboys. And, similarly, Cowboys, thinking that they may be able to catch the Eagles here could be a bit of a distraction. But no, I don't know what the market is seeing in the Rams right now to make them outside of a field goal favorite against anyone, particularly with someone with a live defense like the Cowboys.
Which kind of leads, at least in my head, to this question, which is if the Bills, Chiefs, and Eagles, in whatever order, are your top three power ranked teams, who's number four in your mind right now?
Let me look at my numbers, but off the top of my head, I think you have to have the Ravens probably.
Just because the two teams they squandered leads to are in that top group.
Yeah, and because
Miami being one of them, yeah.
And because they have a top three quarterback in Lamar Jackson. I think the fact that Jackson is their quarterback, you have to consider them a top five team at this point, even though, yeah, they didn't look amazing, particularly in the second half of that game against the Bills. But I'm taking a shot against the number four Ravens this week with the Bengals. The Bengals angle is pretty straightforward as well, which is the speed kills this Ravens defense. The Bengals have that. I'm hopeful that some of the kind of poor decision-making we saw out of Zach Taylor on Thursday Night Football in terms of his scheme and how heavily he was leaning on, Joe Mixon, you have to learn from those, from that close call. And I think lean into some of the strengths of your team at this point. And, considering the way that they played against the Ravens defense in the two head-to-heads last year, I would expect the Bengals to be pretty crisp offensively in this one. And at that point, you just basically need to put two hats on Mark Andrews and force force Lamar Jackson to get it done some other way.
Yeah, I mentioned this yesterday, but I do wonder now, it's starting to creep in. I do wonder if we'll look back at last year's Super Bowl, the Bengals and the Rams, and we'll think to ourselves, both teams had a bit of a rabbit's foot going. That the Bengals got to avoid the Bills and the Chiefs, overcoming 9 sacks in a game. The Rams got to avoid them. I wonder if we'll look back and feel that way about them.
I think almost certainly they did.
Okay, I like that. Coming back with some teaser talk next. Thank you, Drew.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Here's how it works. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up, makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive the $50 bonus as well. That's as easy as it gets. Share the excitement at BetMGM. Get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Nemesis Enforcer. Straight I'll Be Sure. Straight I'll Be Sure vibe on that CD, Gil. Makes Kelly Bidley said, make Gil's segment intro music from a mashup of Slow Jams tracks. What do you know about I'll Be Sure, by the way, Kelly?
No idea.
In effect mode, baby.
I don't know who that person slash band is.
Oh, come on, man. Night and Day? Off on Your Own, Girl? Rescue
you
me?
Naming song titles from not, someone I don't it's know is not going to help.
No, I thought maybe it would jog your memory.
But Bryan Adams was just on.
on the MTV Classic?
Yeah, MTV Classics.
G-Weezy. Hey, I realize what Ohtani does, but, you know, in my humble opinion, he says, you take Judge off the Yanks, they're not even a playoff team. You take Ohtani off the Angels, they still suck. Ohtani, of course, better all-around player than anyone, but this season most valuable is Judge. Well, G-Weezy, it's a perfectly reasonable argument that people are making for Judge. I'm not even saying that it's, you know, I'm not even scoffing at it or anything like that. All I'm saying is I do think if Ohtani could win his 16th game for a 74-win team today. So in some respects, I wouldn't really characterize it that way. In some respects, that makes it even more awesome.
I did find it interesting when we brought up the wins, you know, by Ohtani yesterday on the show. Yeah. And it is. It's every one of those wins. Yeah. Like, we usually kind of mock those, you know, just wins and losses for pitchers.
Yeah.
But, like, that's pretty big for a team that's not been that good.
And again, my other counter to that is, if you put Judge on the Angels, they still suck. But if you put Ohtani on the Yankees, they won the division in August. So, I mean, we can make all these arguments you want. By the way, I love Aaron Judge. Again, he's going to look great in San Francisco. Eric Biggio, who works over at William Hill, is giving me a hard time. He's a Mets fan. He says, this constant peacocking on the NL East with the Braves bet is making this troublesome. He says, signed a jilted, bitter Mets fan. You know who's a jilted, bitter Mets fan?
Jeff Parlay.
I had to...
did you buy tickets for Thursday?
Yeah, well, I haven't bought them yet, but Parlay and I are
going to
go.
You're treating him to that.
I'm going to treat him to that.
The whole $35
ticket. Take him to dinner. Just going to give him a big hug. Because I made Braves bet. Every time I made a Braves bet, I would text him and be like, I just want you to know I'm making another Braves bet. I felt really bad about it. He's like, I hope you lose. No, he was cool about it. We'll talk to Will Hill coming up because we want to talk about how the Mets ought to set this up with pitching coming up. Primetime, Cowboys _ Cubs 1. Did Kelly just call he and Ben Wilson Boogie Cousins, or was he saying a dude named DeMarcus was also at the game last night? The latter.
Oh,
that you two are Boogie Cousins.
We're Boogie Cousins.
You guys are Boogie Cousins. I have no
idea. See what you did there, Primetime. Kind of like it.
Can we announce about Ben Wilson? Are we allowed to say out loud what Ben's doing?
I think so.
So Ben Wilson,
It's public.
I have, you know, we're going to make it public. I always intro certain people a certain way, right? Mark Borcher from an undisclosed location, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. On and on and on, right? And whenever I introduce Ben Wilson, because he's been on the show many times, I always say, and now the person who is going to be the most famous out of VEASAN more than any of us, non-Brent Musburger category, right? Ben Wilson. And I've always meant that about Ben. Ben is going to be the play-by-play guy. Help me out for the G League team here.
G League Ignite team that is in Vegas now and is basically the only G League team that matters.
Yeah. And so, Ben, so that is usually a stepping stone to being an actual NBA play-by-play guy. No pressure, Ben.
Ben is one of the hardest-working, most talented people at this network, and I could not be more proud for him.
Me too.
An excellent opportunity for his play-by-play career. And if you've ever met Ben Wilson in person, he is one of the kindest human beings
that you will
ever meet.
Yep. You love when good things happen to good people. Real Matt Indy, thanks for the Braves advice. Didn't hit it as many times as you did, but still did really well. Awesome call. Glad you did. We got a bunch of those yesterday. Chance Copperpot. I had a small wager on the Braves to win the division, but you talked me into more. I ended up getting at least four bets down to different amounts All decent plus money, and we cash. You need to talk about it more. Keep that actionable info coming, you the best.
Wait, thank you. You think that's a Twitter name, or is that his real name? Chance Copperpot? That's one of the coolest names I've ever heard.
Someone told me that's a reference to something, because it is the coolest name I've ever heard.
Okay, I'm going to Google it.
Copperpot. I believe he was born on the golf course. Bruce Dobigan, looking forward to the ESPN media melting down like this next year when Pete Alonso makes a run at Hack Wilson's 190 RBI. By the way, that's the other thing that needs to be mentioned about this. Our long national nightmare is over with Judge hitting the home run. It would have been over today, too. But you have to, if you put truth serum into the ESPN folks,
oh, yes,
they would be like, oh, for God's sakes, let this end already.
I have been in this situation in past jobs, Gil.
Yes.
This is the where you got to cut into every live broadcast. You got to start. You got to lead every show with it, right? Yankees play tonight. History on the line. Can Judge get there? Every show until he gets there.
And game after game after game, he couldn't hit the home run. And I was just thinking, I was like, and for those who would object to that characterization that they don't view it as that they didn't view it as a potential disaster. Imagine if the season still had another week left, they would be on the hook to do that still for another week. Like, it's just like, oh, just hit it already.
I mean, it got about as bad as it possibly could have, right? I mean, within one day of as bad as it could have gotten.
Did you see the Will McDonough thing on college football this weekend?
No.
I think it was Matt Berry. Don't hold me to this. I think it was Matt Berry in the studio, the college football studio, who sent it to Will McDonough, and he said, hey, you know, it's raining in New York, so we're not going to have any more. We might not have any Aaron Judge cut-ins coming up. I mean, Will McDonough was doing whatever college football game he was doing. Sean McDonough was doing his college football game, and Sean McDonough on air live goes, what a shame. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
That was a great moment this weekend in college football.
I don't have to distract myself from the game I'm calling for this.
Ah, for God's sakes. All right, teaser time, Kelly.
Teaser time, fire it up. Let's go. Teaser's on the line this week.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. Where does this rank in our intros?
Yeah, it's being redone.
Oh, there you go. There's your answer. Matt Brown on electric guitar, by the way.
That's right, yeah. Yep. Thank you, Matt, for recording that for us.
I appreciate it. All right, so again, many of these are Stanford Wong, pseudonym for real name John Ferguson. Many of these are Kelly with poetic license. Again, the Wong teaser recap. Favorites, home favorites, between 7 and 8.5, teased down through the 7 and 3. Home or road dogs, between 1.5 and 2.5, teased up through the 3 and 7. So here are your candidates. You want to take this over, Kelly?
And what, old rules were 49.5 on the total or something like
Totals
that?
Totals matter as well.
I think those are outdated to a degree, though, right? I'm sure that there are updated numbers on the totals. It is something you need to keep in mind if you're really trying to stick to this formula, but the numbers you've seen in years past, I think, are a little out the window. Anyways, this is what I wrote down. Packers lay an 8 against the Giants. That game in London. Important notes in the parentheses here, Gil. Vikings laying 7 at home against the Bears. Commanders catching 2 home against the Titans. Bucks laying 9. This over at MGM. I know there are 8.5s and 8s out there, though, on this game. Home against the Falcons. Jaguars laying 7 home against the Texans. 49ers 6.5 at the Panthers. Cowboys plus 4.5 at the Rams. Say what? Cowboys plus 4.5. I like it. Chiefs minus 7 versus the Raiders.
All right.
I don't really know that I'm actually playing that one.
Teasers have not gone great this year.
Ooh, they've been okay. So they were slow week one. I think week one I had a brutal teaser week. Since then, they've been pretty good. Past couple weeks, I've had some big ones get
over. The Rams got me this week. Rams torpedoed mine.
They were in one of mine this week.
I mean, there's a bunch that I like here. And we're going to get to, you know, much of this is going to be Survivor-related later as well. But, like, the Packers and the Vikings, teasing those down certainly looks appealing. I'm not going to do the Commanders up because I could see that outcome being any which way.
That's gross.
The Bucks feels very appealing. The Jaguars feels very appealing. So does the Niners. I don't know about the Cowboys, and so does the Chiefs. So that was a real boring, simple thing.
I think that I don't know that I'm going to play it. I included Cowboys 4.5. Look, I think that's when you get up at over 10.5 and against what has this Rams team shown us here the past couple weeks.
Nothing.
On a short week?
Nothing.
I think catching 10.5 points with the Cowboys is a leg I would consider way more than like what you said, Commanders catching 2 with the Titans. Only bet I've made so far. I did tease down the Vikings and the Bucks. And this is a little bit, look, I'll just keep betting against bad football teams, right? And the Bears are a really bad football team. I know we got the Vikings coming back from London, and they're going to be on that kind of crazy schedule week. But Bears are so terrible, I have no problem laying a point against them. And then the Bucks, the Falcons rely so much on that running game. No Cordarrelle Patterson. I think that offense is going to struggle against that Bucks defense.
Yeah, I hate that this is not a sexy answer, but I think I'd go Packers-Vikings. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
By the way, Cowboys update from Jerry Jones. Dak wants to play, but he can't get that grip quite yet.
Got to hold him out.
He's a grip expert now. So I think it's Cooper Rush this week. Coming back with Will Hill and, of course, others next.